God, we win. For those of you that were blessed to be here on Wednesday night, you know, I started on Wednesday night preaching a message, and I really felt like I needed to stay with that same theme, that same thought. For this morning, because we're living in days where we've got to know where we stand. And on Wednesday night, I preached the message, first part of it, and I asked a question in the title, I guess you could say, are you on the Lord's side? Joshua chapter 24 is actually where I was at. And again, when you read this, it was the final address of Joshua. After he had been the successor of a man by the name of Moses, how would you like that responsibility? But yet God had blessed Joshua, and they'd been able to fight the battles that they fought and win the wars that they had won. Yet there was a time when Israel had to make up their mind about their future. And I said this Wednesday night, and I want to reiterate and say it again this morning. There is a time in all of our lives where we've got to know for a fact where we stand with the Lord. I could probably preach several hours on just the topic that I'm going to talk to you about here this morning, but I'm only going to give you what I believe that God gave me, and we'll leave it at that. When Joshua, in his farewell address, these are the words that he said. In Joshua 24, verse number 19, he picks it up there and he says, and Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Look at the next verse. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. God is a just God. There are situations that I'm very close to where I have, I guess the only way I can say this is say it the way I feel it. I've begged upon people to depart from evil and depart from your wicked ways and serve God. Turn your life around. In all essence, this is the same thing that Joshua was telling the people. And to flee from those things that continue to keep you in bondage. God says, if you forsake me and you go your own way, this is kindly what the Lord is saying. I'm going to leave you to your own destruction. And it's no longer my responsibility. Now, I've studied that. And I've done it since Wednesday, knowing that I would be back here at this point tonight. Did not know everything I would go through from Wednesday till this morning. No, none of us knew. But in this, we see that we're again, the people said unto Joshua, and I love this because in verse 21, this is their commitment. And I need the Holy Ghost to help me today. Because I can't do this in my own power, and I can't do it in my own strength. No matter how much I've studied, or no matter how much I've read it. But this is my heart today as a pastor to a church. Because he says this in this scripture, and he says, and the Lord said to Joshua, but we will serve the Lord. And again, for those of you that might have been here on Wednesday night, I made a comment such as this. In the day and the hour that we're living in, where it seems like that evil is all around us, seems like everywhere you go, there is an amount of evil that is trying to surface on all of us or near and around all of us, in our society, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our families. Wednesday night, I felt this very strongly in my heart to say this, because I mentioned it in a sense of respect of all the other churches, and I have no stones to throw at nobody. But just trying to be a seeker-sensitive church or a user-friendly church for the benefit of accommodating people just for an attendance record and not for holy living and not for righteousness and for people to negate the responsibility of serving the Lord is an injustice to the society that we live in. Because the Word says, I'm not going to turn back there right now and elaborate on it, but in the Word of God, you can actually just see this in the book of 1 Peter 1:16, because Peter, again, I don't really want to get stuck right here, but Peter, the Lord was reminding them where that God said, I am holy and be ye holy. All the way throughout the Old Testament, even into the New Testament, there was a plea, there was a cry, there was a God dealing with the heart of men, that they would consecrate themselves to the Lord and that they would separate themselves away from the things of the world. When I have a little more time, I will elaborate on that a little bit more. But the question that was put from Joshua to the people was this. If you're going to serve the idol gods, God is saying, I will cut you loose and I will leave you to your own destruction. And the people came back to Joshua, and this is what he says in verse 21. He says, but we will serve the Lord. And I don't know how you feel today, but I know how I feel today. It has got to be more than just a Sunday morning, preacher, give me something that'll make me feel good, and preacher, give me something that'll get me through the week. Although I do need something on Sunday morning, I need manna from heaven. I need to hear the word of the Lord. I need the strength of God, because I've got to go to work in the morning. You've got to go to work in the morning. We've got to go back out into society in the morning. And if I don't get something on Sunday, I'm not going to be able to face my Monday. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When we make up our mind that we're going to serve God, something in the spiritual realm happens. Something in your heart happens. And it is a verbal and it is a heart commitment that I'm going to do my very, very best in my life to give my life to Jesus Christ and to serve Him on a daily basis. Again, when you look at this in 22 and following, he says, and Joshua said to the people, we are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, that serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses. Verse number 23 says, and now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord of Israel. And again, he says in verse 24 and following, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve, and His voice we will obey. It was a marked decision in the life of the people of Israel that day. Oh, if I could just meddle there for a minute. What would it be like in the church today? I'm not saying anybody's in gross sin. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that anybody's backslid. I'm not saying that. Oh, but friend, what a difference it would make in the church and in society today if we would make up our mind and we're going to say, no matter what comes my way, no matter how good it is, no matter how bad it is, no matter how difficult it is, there's one thing I'm going to do is I am going to serve the Lord. It didn't just happen in Joshua's life at that time, because Joshua had already made this decision as he was to continue to impress upon the children of Israel their necessity, their need to put away their idol gods and to serve the Lord with everything that is within them. Once again, it's not my place in any way, shape, form, or fashion to look down my nose upon anybody. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to come across that way. But if you happen to have come into this building today and you're living a Christian life in a loose fashion, whereby you are sort of in the church and you're sort of out of the church. You kind of got one foot in the church and one foot out of the church. Some days you serve God good. Some other days you could care less if you serve God at all. And that's the way Israel was. And Joshua told them and gave them a proclamation upon his departure. This one thing I'm going to tell you. If you will turn your life away from the idol gods and commit your ways unto God, God will bless you, and God will bless your home, and God will bless your marriage. God will bless you. Now I'm going to tell you something. It's not like instant Jell-O pudding. It's not like, you know, you can just whip it up in a bowl and all of a sudden everything becomes perfect. I heard Jensen Franklin say this one time. He said, we live in a microwave generation. We want it right now. We want it to happen right now. We live in a microwave generation, but we serve a crock pot God. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes there's got to be a putting away. There's got to be a cutting away of the things of the flesh. And there's got to be times in your life where you've got to make up your mind. Even in this chapter of 24 of Joshua, he comes back in verses number 14. And once again, he says to forsake those gods that your father served on the other side of the flood. And then in verse 15, he comes back and he says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day. Make a choice. It is calling them to a place in their life where they must make a decision. I believe that society at large, in the United States of America at large, we're at this place today. Can I say this and be as gentle as I know how to be this morning? It does not make any difference to me. It makes a difference to me what Washington, D.C. does. But what Washington, D.C. does has no bearing on my relationship with Jesus. Amen. I'm going to serve Jesus. It makes no difference to me what they're going to do in Raleigh and what policies they pass in Raleigh. I'm still going to serve Jesus. They may make decisions over here in the city council in the city of Thomasville that would be contrary to this book. But just because they make that decision over there at the city council meeting, that's no bearing on me, because I've already made up my mind. I'm going to serve God and I'm going to love Him. And my friend and Joshua said to them, put your evil away, put the things aside. And as he said this, he comes back in the latter part of this. And again, you can read that on the screen. Verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But here's the point that Joshua came back and he made this decision. This is where I kindly ended on Wednesday night. This is where I believe today that we're at a marked place at the Thomasville Church of God, collectively as a corporate body. What are we going to do? What are we going to do corporately and collectively as a body? I've got the answer to that. Joshua not only told Israel that, but he also let them know of his personal decision. Here's Joshua's personal decision, because Joshua went on and Joshua said this, and he says that. He said in the middle part of verse 15, he said, "But as for me," wow, that is a question that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl has to make up their mind about. Every person under the sound of my voice, you've got to make your own personal decision about what you're going to do with Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Joshua came back and he said that, as you look at this in the middle of the little middle part of verse 15. But he said, "As far as me," and then he said, "and my house," my home. I'll go ahead and say this. Sherry and I live in our home now. Our kids are out and gone, but our home, mine and hers, she and I, we made up our mind. Hello? If nobody else does, me and her, she and I, us and we made up our mind. And we walk hand in hand, and we walk together in that decision. It's unwavering. It's unquestionable that we're going to serve God. Husbands and wives need to be on the same page. And I don't have time this morning on this Valentine's Sunday to do a marriage counseling class. But if you and your spouse is not on the same page when it comes to serving God, y'all need to go get you a coffee somewhere and sit down and get you a piece of chocolate pie and have a long, long conversation about your spiritual relationship with each other. Amen, preacher. Thank you, preacher, for letting him know that. Thank you, sir, for letting her know that. Because that's the only way that it's going to work. God designed it that way. There are times in the scripture that there was individuals that was put into situations where even the children of Israel, but yet the disciples in the New Testament, they were put into the exact same situation. I remember reading several different places, and one of those great places is in the book of John, and brother Scott, I didn't get in here if you're still on the book of John. If I get on something, I'm sorry. I was very busy doing some things this morning, so if we get it doubled up here, it's not because I planned it that way. It just means that God wanted you to hear it again. But there came a time in the life of those disciples. And I'll walk through some of this stuff. And in John chapter 6, we see this. And we actually go back into verse number 16. He says, "And many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" And he was talking about Jesus being the bread of life, and Jesus coming down and him becoming the Son of God, and those that eat his flesh and those that drink his blood. We know now that that was the spiritual implication, the spiritual application that Jesus was making to them, and that Jesus was that bread, that manna that came down from heaven. Jesus is still that bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is still that manna that where the children of Israel had it in the wilderness. We know that Jesus is still the bread of life today. But the disciple says this, when they heard this, said, "This is a very hard to accept." Verse 61, Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it and said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" And then in 62, he says, What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" That's a good question out of the book of Acts chapter number 1. "It is the spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. These words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And then Jesus came back and he said, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that would believe not, and who would betray him. Again, quite a bit to get into in this particular setting with Judas and those Jews and those that would never accept him as the Lord and the Messiah and the Redeemer and the Savior of the world. In my devotion earlier this morning, I was reading out of the book of Matthew, the latter part of the book of Matthew, where that they were getting ready to crucify Jesus. And there was a question put before the people and before the individuals there, whether it be in Pilate or Caiaphas and all the high priests and the ones that was there. And the question was, what are we going to do with Jesus? And then all the people that beckoned upon them that day said, let him be crucified. Can I put a plug in that's nowhere in my text today? That text wasn't even there. If Jesus was here today, they'd crucify him again. Because they said there in that decision making, when he was there with the Sanhedrin and all those that was making that decision, what are we going to do with Jesus? Then the Bible said, let him be crucified. And they beckoned upon the crowd, said, who do you want, Jesus or Barabbas? Barabbas was a known and a convicted murderer. Because of the religiosity of that day and the religion of that day, the Jews, they were not willing to accept Jesus as the only begotten Son of the living God. And they said, let Jesus be crucified. Now, this is not in my notes. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm trying to be tender. I'm trying to be kind. I'm trying to be nice. Which crowd are you with today? Are you with the crowd today that would say, this is Jesus my Lord and this is Jesus my Savior? Or are you with the crowd today that's screaming from the street corner to destroy Christianity in America and to get rid of Christianity in America? Let him be crucified. Send him away to be crucified. See, we're at a crossroads, not only in our churches today, but in society at large. We're back at that place where we've got to decide as a family unit. We've got to decide as moms and dads and young people, you're not exempt. I don't want to be ugly today. I promise you, I don't want to be ugly. The most miserable day in hell for anybody, regardless of your age. I heard this said one time, what will be the most miserable thing about hell? Will be, the answer was, all the times and all the days and all the opportunities that you had to get your heart right with Jesus, and you constantly rejected him and refused him, and it's playing like a tape recorder in your mind, and it never goes away as you're being tormented in hell. I don't like preaching about hell. I don't like doing that. I really don't like doing that because it's so offensive. But it's a reality. The rich man and Lazarus. When the rich man died, the Bible said in Luke, he said in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. People say, I've heard people say this, when I get to hell, I'm going to party, party, party. I'm going to be with my buddies. I'm going to be with my friends. I'm going to be with all the people that I've always been around. I'm going to go to hell and party, party, party. Listen close. Jesus said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. If a person ends up in a hell, my friend, there will be no party environment there in hell at all. But the rich man fared sumptuously every day. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And Lazarus, as he was able to look between the gulf that was fixed, and he was able to see Lazarus being comforted in the bosom of Abraham. So my friend, today we have a choice. We have a choice in our life today. Joshua said these very words, choose you this day whom you will serve. Oh, what a decision. I love Billy Graham. I love Billy Graham's preaching. I love just as I am. But he always, Shelby had this hour of decision. The time that every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl has to make up their mind. What am I going to do with Jesus? And we're there. We're there in society. So you're there this morning in this church. You say, well, I've been serving God for 80 years. Hallelujah. I celebrate that. But there's others that might have just got started on the journey. They're struggling. They're having hard days. The devil won't let up on them. The devil come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. They're being tempted at every angle. They've lost a few battles along the way. They barely got their head above the water. They feel like they're going under for the last time. To that person today, I want to just say this. Put your faith in Jesus and put your confidence in Him. And the Bible said if we will submit ourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil and he will flee from us. Choose you this day. Choose Jesus first. And you watch and see if Jesus don't bless your life. That don't mean that you're not exempt from storms. It don't mean that you're exempt from the challenges of life. I have my own challenges, amen. But I do know this one thing, Brother Hardin, that I put my trust, my personal trust and faith in Jesus Christ. No matter what anybody else does, I've got to make up my own mind that I'm going to serve the Lord. Let me look at this right here real fast. When Jesus was there with his disciples, and we look at this in verse 64 and following, as he knew who would betray him. Look in verse 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of the Father. Look at this. And he says, at that time, many of his own disciples, many of them went back. They had to make a decision about Jesus. But their decision was to no longer follow him. Their decision was to turn their back on him and walk away. Hear me this morning. Don't walk away from the best thing that you could ever do is to serve the Lord. Joshua told them, even in the world that is infiltrated with all kinds of gods and all kinds of fake gods, and he brought them to the place of decision. Will you serve the Lord? When this scripture with Jesus was there with Peter, as many of them begin to walk away, Jesus looked at the 12 and he says this. And said Jesus to the 12, will you also go away? I don't know about you. All I know is how I felt this week and what I've studied. I just feel like at large in Christianity today, at large, that this question needs to be posed to the church. Are you going to serve him till he comes? There are those that served him faithfully for years, 60, 70 years, 80 years, however long it is. But for the young people that might be listening to me today, I said this last weekend, God blessed me and Sherry so much that he got a hold of us. I'm talking about really, really, really a hold of us, really good, when we were young. In our early, late teens. Really? Y'all have known each other that long? Late teens. We just coming up on 43 years of marriage. Has it always been easy? Well, for the most part. I met Sherry when she was 15. I was 17. She was 15 days past her 18th birthday when we got married. Because her mama said, I'm not signing for none of my children no more. And I said, you don't have to. I got this. We handle it. We were 20. I was 20. She was 18 when we got married. I'm not recommending that to anybody. Matter of fact, I would say don't do it. Wait and make sure. But when you know. And I've said this before, and I'm only using myself as an example because I can talk about me and get away with it. You can't. I was blessed, Sandra. 22-year-old. I started preaching at 22. The Church of God had enough confidence in me at 27 to let me plant a church and start a church. At 27-year-old, I look back at that and I go, it just blows my mind. But it comes down to this. We made our mind up that we're going to serve God. And that same question was put to Peter, and his life was put to the test. Will you also go away? And Peter replied back to the Lord when he said this. And he looks at this in verse 68 and he says, and Simon answered him and said, Lord, I love this. To whom shall we go? In other words, well, where else do we have? What other options is there? But to serve you, Lord. And he said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Oh, I wish I had time to talk about that for another few minutes this morning because, see, what we're doing now is only the rehearsal room. It's the dressing room for eternal life. And you might think now, there's nothing to this serving Jesus. There's nothing to this whole thing. My friend, we're not going to see the reality of all of this until we're already gone from this veil of tears and we've already crossed over to the other side where the Lord Himself will judge the quick and the dead. And God Himself will hand out the rewards where Jesus Himself will be there. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. And Peter was asked this question. And Peter's answer was correct. Lord, to whom shall we go? I don't have anywhere else to go. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Well, Lord, you've got the words of eternal life. And I dare say that every person in this room, you want eternal life. To live with Jesus in all eternity. We don't want eternal destruction. We don't want eternal damnation. We want eternal life. And Jesus in John 14 and 6 told about when Thomas was there, he said, and Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. So we see this. We see this in the scripture plain because there was a sombering question that was asked to Peter, and Peter gave the answer. He goes on and he says this in the latter part of that. And we believe, verse 69, he said, and we believe. I got this underlined in my Bible. I don't know if you write in your Bible or not, but I write in mine. This is my study book. But he says, and we believe, look at this, and are sure. Amen. We believe, and we're convinced. 100%. He says that thou art the Christ. Christos, the anointed one. And you are the Son of the living God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If Baal be God with a little g, then serve Baal. But if God be your God, then serve Him. The same test was put to Peter again. Over in the book of John. John chapter 21. It's when, you know this as well as me, but there's a couple of little things here that I want to point out. It was when Jesus was there, and he picks this up in verse 15. And when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. So, as I understand this, when Peter was asked that question, Jesus said, Do you love me? Peter was looking at this in the Greek word love. And again, the word love can be used in a thousand different ways. I love my cat. I love my dog. I love my car. I love my cow. I love my church. I love my wife. I love motorcycles. I love this. I love that. I love chocolate pudding. You know, everything, we use the word love for everything. And then we want to throw it all together, you know. And it's like, I love chocolate pudding just as much as I love Sherry. Really? We use it like that. So when Jesus was asking Peter that, he was really looking for his commitment level. And when he says this, he said that he saith, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. According to the Greek text, from my understanding, that is written in the word phileo. In the Greek word phileo, it's like a brotherly love. It's written in a benevolent context. A lot of people follow Jesus for the fishes and the loaves. And you can read that many followed him no more. So if you love Jesus only for being a benefactor of what Jesus can do for you, you love him only as a benevolent Jesus. In other words, I'll love him as long as there's something in it for me. What can you do for me today? But Jesus looked back as you walk on down through here, and I'm not going to get on feed the lambs and feed the sheep and all of that right yet. But in this, we look a little deeper, and Jesus picked it up in verse 16. And again, he says, and Simon saith, and he saith again unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Again with a question mark. Do you love me more than these? In this, from my understanding, there is the context of the word lovest is the word agape, which basically, according to my understanding, is simply this. It has to be more than an impulsive reaction to a current event. Agape will cause you to love Jesus on the worst day of your life. Jesus was looking to Peter for a decision, for a commitment. And Penny, you can come. Do you agape me? A lot of times, and I'm going to be very vague and very loose in this statement. Very presumptuous in this statement. A lot of people will come to church only when they feel as if there's something in it for them. and it's beneficial to them. And I don't mean this bad. I'm going to say it, and you can do with it what you want to do with it. Through the years, they've been bunches and bunches and bunches and bunches of people that came in and out of this building. We're very close to I-85 right here, and people oftentimes just stop by because they need a tank of gas to get somewhere else. Has nothing to do with them loving Jesus. But it's amazing that they come to church, a church, to get that. Which I'm not against that. I want to help everybody I can help. But in saying that, as a Christian, your love for the church and your love for Jesus has got to supersede and go beyond what's in it for you. Now, don't get mad at the preacher. It's a little late in the service. Well, preacher, I'll come to your church if I can see the benefits of being a part of it. And I've had things happen through the years, and people's challenged me and people's told me, if you'll preach this way, I'll come, but if you don't preach this way, I won't be here. You say, you've had people tell, oh yeah, absolutely, I have. I've had people tell me that to my face in this building in years gone by, trying to manipulate and control the preacher and trying to control somebody with your words and with how you feel about it. Let me tell you something, friend. If you love Jesus, you'll wade through hell and demons elbow deep, and there won't be a soul on this earth to stop you from loving Jesus. You're going to love Him no matter what. You're going to be in church. Somebody said, well, somebody said something wrong to me, or somebody wouldn't speak to me, or somebody done something wrong. Get your eyes off of that and get your eyes on Him. You're not here for the gratification and the edification and the pleasing of the person sitting next to you. Although, now let me say, we do need to honor one another, love one another, respect one another. We need to do every bit of that because the Bible said we need to pray one for another. But I ultimately have to serve Him for myself and love Him. Jesus came to Peter the third time and He said, Peter, do you love me? Why? Because Jesus needed, first of all, this is greenology. I believe that Peter needed to hear himself say, Jesus, I love you. Because Peter was getting ready to go into discipleship, following Jesus, picking up his cross, all the things that his disciples had to do. Jesus was there, and Jesus was getting ready to be led away to be crucified. Peter was there. A little young damsel came up to Peter and started challenging him on his relationship with Jesus. I don't even know the man. Cussing and swearing, stomping and hollering. Over in the background somewhere in the far, far distance. Nobody else paid attention to it. But there was this slight little sound coming from the corner. And at that time, Peter's heart melted. He is the Son of God. He is who He said. Nobody else would have known that. Then Peter went into the upper room and was filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the power of the Spirit. Preached the first message out of Pentecost. Come back in Acts 4:12, and he ended up saying, neither is there any other man given among men whereby we must be saved. All of that was because Peter made up his mind. I got sheep to feed, and he's counting on me. Now, I don't know where this message found us today, but I do want to say this, young and old, God's dependent on you. Let us commit our ways as you stand with me. Let us commit our ways to Him today. Not superficial. Not because somebody's telling you you have to do it. Young people, listen to me. I don't know where all you're sitting in the building. But the best decision you'll ever make in your life is the day that you allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And you get a hold of salvation for yourself. And you have a personal experience with Jesus for yourself. And when you do have those bad days, you're going to be able to say Psalm 23, and though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's with me. He loves me. I am the sheep of his pasture. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. He's mine and I'm his. And the Lord calleth his own sheep by name. And they follow him because my sheep know my voice. And they follow me. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I've done my best. And God's helped me. Trust me, God's helped me today. God has helped me today to preach what was in my heart. And today in this room, if you came here in this room undecisive, you could not say with clarity that Jesus is your Lord and Jesus is your Savior. Let this be the day. Let this be the hour. Let this be the moment. Let this be the time in your life that you make a true decision for Jesus. And you say, as far as me, as far as me, I'm going to serve the Lord. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you've made that decision in this room today, I'm not saying you're backslid. I'm not saying that you was away from God. I'm not even saying that you were a lost sinner. That's not what I'm saying. But it's a time that you needed to hear this message and you needed to make up your mind. And now in your own heart today, you're saying, Pastor, I've made my mind up. I'm going to serve Jesus. Let me see your hand. Let me see your hand. Of the people around this room that says, Pastor, I have made up my mind. I'm not going back. I'm not going under. I'm not going down. I'm not changing my mind about who Jesus is. As far as me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to commit my life to Him and serve Him every day of my life. So, Father, you've seen every hand that was raised. These altars are open if you want to find a place to pray. If you need prayer today, God says, come. And as you come, He said, I will be with you and I will meet with you. And I'll give you the rest. Serve the Lord with gladness. Choose you this day who you will serve. So, Father, we commit this day to you. Every hand that was raised, every decision that was made, every person that made that decision, Father, may your Holy Spirit fill them. Fill them with power. Fill them with an anointing. Fill them with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I pray today for you. I pray for this congregation. I pray for us. And no matter what happens in society, no matter what happens at the church down the road, that we have committed our ways to God. Now, Tim would have to help me with this. Or somebody that's a pilot, but Rogers flew before. I don't know if anybody else has. They tell me, I do not know this for a fact, but there is a certain time in the cockpit. Everything, all the instruments is exactly as they need to be. RPMs, whatever. I'm not a pilot. But at that point, the pilot radios back and he says, I am committed. Can't down throttle, can't stop. I've got to go. I'll say it like this. When he toots, we'll scoot. We got to be that committed, Robert. I love you. I think we've got some activities this evening. Have you got choir practice? Next Sunday. Sherry's got some play. Let me call it a play. It's not a play, but it's a drama. It's a drama. She's got some people meeting this evening. Church time at 6 o'clock. Test your commitment at 6 o'clock tonight. I love you. Have a good day.